Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. Well, unfortunately, we are receiving some really bad news about the weather in KZN. Many of you have probably been watching that. We will keep an eye on that and we'll keep you posted. Apparently, a tornado that is really, really ravishing some of the homes in KZN. So really something that is not good news at all. This is not a way to start the show, but we'll keep an eye on that story and keep you posted. In fact, I want us to start, we're going to be having a conversation with MK Party in a short while. We'll also have, we are going to have a political analyst just coming in just after 9 o'clock with all these collision arrangements that are happening behind the scenes. We'll have that conversation and then we'll have Mpumelelo Zikalala just talk to us about some legal matters as well. So let me welcome very quickly MK Party spokesperson Ndlamulo Ndlela. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome to Kaya.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
So, look, I know, first of all, before we go into the news story of the day, I just want to give you an opportunity to maybe, you know, say something to the people of KZN. I know that this is a very important province for you. You've done extremely well there. Perhaps your word as MK Party?
Well, we want to say that as MK Party, we are ready to govern, and more than anything else, we're aware of what is happening. We are already engaging with our members in the team in the province to see what interventions we can make. And we're watching the situation very closely. But as the incoming government, we're taking this matter very, very seriously.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we don't want people to lose lives there, but it's not looking good. So thanks again for making time for us. We speak at a really interesting time because we are in the middle of things happening. When you and I spoke last, we were still counting the numbers. The numbers came in and you as the MK Party, accompanied by other smaller parties, saying you're really, really not happy with these results. The president of MK Party said, look, you would want the IEC to wait and allow the processes of checking what it is that yourselves and other political parties are complaining about to be finally resolved. Has that been resolved in the sense that are there discussions behind the scenes between yourselves and the IEC?
Unfortunately, the IEC stance on this, you know, from our end, has been short of nothing but arrogant. Arrogant in the sense that, you know, we followed the due processes.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, as it pertained to the deadline that they've given us.
Yes.
Of, I think it was on Friday at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That was then off the back of the midnight briefing,
yes,
where we rejected the results.
Mm-hmm.
And also started picking up other concerning incidents regarding, you know, the voters,
the
voting, and as well as any discrepancies related to that.
Mm.
So, you know, we then said that this cannot be because the objections essentially started piling up.
Mm.
And they then, off the back of that, you know, obviously issued a condemnation, which then extended it to the following day at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So from 9 right up to 6, you can just imagine the amount of influx of, you know, complaints from our VDC of the country on all these discrepancies. In between that, we had obviously in the AMs also discovered that the downtime of the system, you know, was actually interference.
Mm-hmm.
And
Are you talking about the IT system here?
The IT system, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll recall, they refer to it as the screens having gone off.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not just the screens that were gone off. There was all sorts of other activities in the background. We had voice notes to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
We have video to this effect that proves beyond reasonable doubt that indeed there was interference. Okay, we submitted this
mm-hmm.
to the IEC before the deadline, as per Section 55,
yes.
And instead, the IEC, without even, you know, having given us any feedback regarding those objections at that point in time, as to whether, you know, they looked at it and what their view of it was, they went and made an announcement to say that you know, they are going to be declaring the results. Hmm. Now, what is concerning is, you know, how do you go and do that? Knowing very well that you haven't given us any feedback regarding the objections that we've raised. Hmm. And what then also, what that also means is that you haven't even reviewed them, but you're already declaring, confirming that you're going to declare, you know, results at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. Mm. Let's also not forget that there is no rush here. There's no rush because they have, in terms of the law, until Wednesday to declare the results, at which they were pushing that, you know, come Sunday, that's it. Mm. They are declaring the results.
As the MK party, my understanding is that you had about 10 objections. The other parties that supported your call were in the numbers of about 20. Do we know how many objections they lodged and whether their objections were looked into?
Well, the feedback we get is that the IEC went ahead and rejected all their submissions and their objections. And we also received, you know, rejection of objection letters. And, most of the objections that were raised were rejected. No reasons were given as well.
Let's talk a little bit about your information that you say that you have collated, and you've got voice notes on it on the IT company that was running the IT system that shut down for, I think it was 2 hours. What do you know about what actually happened behind the scenes?
Well, without wanting to divulge a lot, I mean, one can just share the following. Mm-hmm. It is a company, IT company based in Cape Town, owned by foreign shareholders. Mm-hmm.
Is it solely owned by foreign shareholders, or are there some South Africans there?
There are some South Africans.
Okay.
But when I say owned, it's because majority.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, there are South Africans in there. Mm. And they were responsible for the system, which is also cloud-based, for the connectivity and uploading of and managing the calculations of the votes, in effect.
Mm-hmm. And you believe there was activity going on when we, sort of, were shut out of the system?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was activity going on. And mm-hmm. Whilst the screens were so-called off.
Yes.
And that was deliberate.
Do you believe the activity that was going on behind the scenes effectively fidgeted and fiddled with the numbers?
In effect, yes. That's exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to give me more?
No, I can't give more than that at this point. You know. Okay. But, you know, there's a number of things that we need to take into consideration here.
Yes.
You know,
So let me maybe ask you this way.
Yes.
You quite clearly are not comfortable with this particular company. You're saying that you had initially anyway requested the IEC to tell you about their procurement system. Did they ever respond to you with regards to that?
No, and that's a big problem, right? Here we go. We sent the IEC an email, a letter rather. Email to them and requesting and therefore invoking PIA, you know, promotion mm-hmm. of information. And we requested the following. Could you please share with us mm-hmm. the companies that you appointed? Who are those companies? Mm-hmm. What were the terms of reference? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is the status of those companies and why? You going that?
Was it only for the IT system or other services as well?
We're talking specifically as pertaining to IT companies.
Okay.
I mean, here's something that's also, but in any case, you can read into it as you may.
Yeah.
If you look at, Janet Love had a United Nations program, does a workshop on digital provision of systems for the electorates, in effect. That particular one was sponsored by a Business Connection as well. Business Connection, the company, was acquired by Telkom.
Yeah.
Telkom, in effect, is responsible as a service provider to the IEC,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the network.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things. And also, let's not forget that the same business connection, the shareholders,
mm-hmm.
that sold business connection to Telkom,
mm-hmm.
are very senior members of the ANC, in the NEC. You do your research, you'll find the names. You just have to Google it.
Mm.
It's right there.
And so, I mean, there are many, many ways in which one can intervene. Why did you only think it's the IT system alone that can render this election? We know that you feel it's not credible. Is it the only IT system that you were concerned about? Why did you only think that it was, unless if you had intelligence beforehand?
No, we had intelligence beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we asked the question initially.
Mm.
Who are these companies? Please do share with us what their terms of reference is. And also, why foreign entities from these specific countries?
Yes. We do know that former President Jacob Zuma yesterday warned the IEC, saying, look, you know, they should hold back because you still have concerns. But they did go ahead anyway. What's the MK party's recourse?
We're exploring a number of options
mm-hmm.
with our attorneys, and we want to make it very clear that, you know, there seems to be a narrative that's been driven
mm-hmm.
that, you know, MK is a warmonger-led party, which is totally false. We know what they're trying to do. I mean, we've heard the DA also trying to drive that narrative, which is sad. And also, members of the media also need to be responsible in reporting correctly by, you know, not creating an environment that seems to create an impression that Mkhonto is a party, of, you know, violent, hungry leaders. It's not the case. So I think let me just start there. Okay, we're a peaceful party. We love South Africa. We want to see a proper transition into this new dispensation. Now, or this new administration, rather. Now, I think with that, our options, as I've mentioned, legal, we'll certainly look at that
mm-hmm.
in terms of interdicting the swearing in, both spheres of government, national and provincial. That's one. The other one is we're getting legal advice
mm-hmm.
where we're also contemplating boycotting the swearing in
mm-hmm.
of Mkhonto SIZwe members.
Mm-hmm.
Of Parliament, of the National Assembly.
Mm.
In that way, the intent is to ensure that, you know, we protest by virtue of doing so, so that there's no swearing in of any president until our issues are resolved.
Mm.
So we're looking into those.
Former President Jacob Zuma today spoke to some supporters outside court and said they must wait. You know, what did he mean by that?
Well, President Zuma is effectively saying to members of society and members of the Mkhonto SIZwe, because as you can imagine, there's been a lot of anger around what the IEC has done by announcing and declaring the results prior to concluding, you know, the review of the objections.
Mm.
So what President Zuma was saying is they should not in any way act violently. They should be patient with the process that the leadership alongside our attorneys,
mm-hmm.
our lawyers, are following and wait for that outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because in effect, we are quite confident that we should be able to come to some sort of resolution without any forms of violence. So
mm-hmm.
he was basically saying to citizens, South African members, to practice restraint, to restraint, and not engage in any activities that could lead to violence.
The MK Party X account today posted, it may have been more, but I saw two in particular, videos of ballot papers that were found in vehicles that were going to be dumped somewhere. Can you perhaps confirm that and where those videos, the one says in Pietermaritzburg, can you confirm where the other vehicle was and how old are these videos?
I can tell you that as at yesterday morning, there were burnt ballot boxes with you know, votes in them, in Mpumalanga.
Mm-hmm.
We even opened up a case regarding that matter, and it's before the police, so it's there.
Okay.
And then the same we also picked up in Pietermaritzburg. So both videos are correct.
So these, I just want to make sure that, are these videos, are you getting these videos subsequent to the release of the results? Is this new information, new evidence that's been collected?
Now, this would be from the extension of the condemnation deadline, which is 6 p.m.
Yes.
And the declaration of the results. So, for instance, the Mpumalanga discovery was yesterday morning, you know, before the declaration. So, and this is what's happening to Tumelo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're saying, what is the rush? Why the rush? We're taking up, you know, a lot of discrepancies in the process. These kind of situations where you find ballot boxes burnt, dumped, with votes in them, you know, after, you know, the condemnation deadline.
Mm.
And yet, the IEC continues to rush, you know, to announce and declare results. Why?
I'm going to ask if I may, please ask that we pause for a few minutes, maybe 2 minutes, as we take a quick ad break. And I'm going to open the lines on 086-000-0959. And Tamulo Ndlela is MK spokesperson, and we are in conversation about a lot that has happened since the results were released. As you know, that former President Jacob Zuma addressed some supporters this afternoon today, after outside court, but he also he spoke to the media yesterday as well. So we're talking about all of those and the position of the MK party right now. There's a lot of movement, so we'll talk to that. But you're very welcome to also ask your questions on 086-000-0959. Ntamulo Ndlela is the MK party spokesperson, and as I said, we're very happy to take your calls, 086-000-0959. Thanks again for making time for us, Mr. Ndlela. Let's now talk about where we are. We're now here where the IEC has gone ahead and given us the results. The MK party is looking at its options about the next step forward. Although one wonders whether, while that is happening, are you already having coalition party discussions as well at the moment?
Look, we can't be having coalition party discussions per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will engage,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's a difference.
Mm.
The difference is, you know, we are in the middle of a dispute in terms of even the percentages.
Yes.
Based on the votes allocated.
Sure.
So we have the view that that should and that could change. And naturally, by virtue of that, you know, it tips the scales or changes the conversation in of itself.
Mm.
Right? And we're there to happen. But it does not mean that we should not or could not or will not engage with political parties. Of course, we will engage with political parties to get a sense of, you know, which areas we could potentially work in should we resolve this, and depending what the situation is with the IEC. And effectively, we are open to engage with parties.
And to your point about negotiating without really having clear numbers, I mean, from what you know and where you're sitting, what are your projections? And I ask you this because former President Jacob Zuma alluded to what he thinks is the kind of numbers that you got. Just give us a sense of what do you feel the MK party should be sitting at.
Well, let me put this way. Firstly, there is no way from whichever planet anyone could be coming from that, you know, the DA can have a bigger constituency than MK party. It's unfathomable. Totally unfathomable. And if you heard and you got more insight, which we will share, in terms of what happened in KZN alone, you'd realize that it's that we've, quite honestly, and also take into consideration, remember, the tampering that has happened. And as crazy as it sounds, that we potentially won these elections, if not the opposition, the official opposition.
And so
that's how deep this rabbit hole goes.
Yeah. And so we obviously hear now with you not having with certainty the numbers, but you are engaging.
Let me say the following. Yeah. Let me say the following on numbers. Let's look at just in case of that. And remember, this information we are getting, and I'm sure you're seeing, there's close to about 46 additional employees from the IEC that are willing to come out. And they will come out. And we know, for instance, just KZN alone, with between 56% and 62%.
What do they tell you? What are they waiting for? Why are they not coming out? Why didn't they come out sooner?
Well, they are coming out. We're engaging with many people. They're engaging in various platforms.
Yeah.
And we've seen audits. We've seen confirmation to that extent. Even from an IT perspective, we have a report.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know exactly what transpired here.
Yeah.
But again, what's baffling is the IEC rushing to declare.
The MK party said, you know, former President Jacob Zuma, one of the reasons he's not happy with the ANC, he's not happy with Cyril Ramaphosa's ANC, I then assume that means that Cyril Ramaphosa being a presidential candidate is a non-negotiable for the MK party. Does that also mean, is there another maybe non-negotiable that you're willing to discuss with us?
Well, we've mentioned, and President Zuma has mentioned, that we will not engage with Cyril Ramaphosa's ANC, mm-hmm. but we will engage with the ANC.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying, that as a presidential candidate, that's your non-negotiable, but you are going to speak to the ANC. Another non-negotiable for the MK party, whether you're speaking to the ANC or anybody else?
Well, I wouldn't want to just preempt them at this point in time. I mean, this is obviously a discussion that we need to have with whichever political party we may be engaging with. Mm. As long as with the party is progressive, that's your to ensure and change,
mm-hmm.
and shares, you know, similarities or is aligned to our policies. Those are going to be the key drivers of how any coalition discussion is shaped.
You've said that the party is still to decide who from your candidate list would be represented in Parliament. In other words, that candidate list is not an automatically a sense that gives everybody, whether in the MK party or those who voted for the MK party, that it's a guarantee that they'll go into Parliament. How then are you going to decide who goes to Parliament?
Look, I mean, throughout our campaign, we've made it very clear that we want civil society to represent in the form of traditional leaders,
mm-hmm.
traditional leaders, religious leaders, and, you know, as them mm-hmm. being a priority, very key.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a list of, so you call it the parliamentary list that was submitted to the IEC, the candidature.
Got you.
That has got names mm-hmm. that need to be moved around. Remember, you can amend it.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to be doing in that process as we speak, and then obviously make that submission of those names after we've resolved. And again, take into consideration, like I've mentioned.
Yes, of course.
That, you know, we are obviously seeking to get advice as to whether do we even get thrown in or not as a form of protest.
Help us understand. What kind, I know you speak of a leadership structure. We know that you haven't gone to conference, you don't really have formal structures as we know them or that you have spoken of. Who then is part of this your leadership structure that makes these decisions?
So we have a national leadership core. A national leadership core, I mean, to maybe make it easier, give some sort of reference, it would be like your NEC.
Okay.
And in there, we have a mix of people, various backgrounds, various skills. And you could take it from the people's mandate and how that and the input that went into there. And that's the kind of brains that we have in our national leadership core. Engineers, doctors, soldiers, former MKNDA, naturally, members, you know, a mix, in a sense, young and obviously middle-aged people. Now, we have, in effect, also an interim structure, which is more the operational instructions. So there you have your Secretary General's office, which is made up of, you know, communications, head of elections, national organizer, and then you have your women's arm, you have your youth arm, and then you have the Treasurer General. So that would be the operational structure.
That's
effectively received into and report into the National Leadership Corps.
So the Leadership Corps is the one actually making these decisions, not necessarily your administrative structures, right?
No, the administrative structure works closely with the National Leadership Corps. Yeah. So in effect, I mean, it's the core being the board.
Yes, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a statement that you released today saying that you are removing the KwaZulu-Natal coordinator. Is there a reason? You never stated in your press release why they're removed.
Look, naturally, remember, firstly, we have an interim structure. We're all volunteers.
Yes.
And we will move a comrade based on skill or where we feel, when things start shifting and changing, where we need their skills and resources, and then we'll then resource that area accordingly. So we've moved a lot of our comrades, you know, from different roles, depending on what we need to do. As you know now, now after elections, we need to deploy resources in certain areas. This is what we do. Okay. We then remove you. Put you elsewhere.
All right. So can we then confirm that Sphiwe Mpongosa was not removed for misconduct?
No. There's no misconduct.
All right. It's just you reshuffling your resources and your candidates.
Remember, we also have to start thinking about the government and how we structure that government, the leadership there. So take into consideration that not every move is negative.
Yes, you know, I understand.
It could be in preparation for other roles within the program. So
can we just be clear? Is the MK party asking for a re-election or a recount?
Look, let me ask the following question. Let me put this to you.
Yep.
How do you recount with burnt ballot boxes that we're now discovering?
Mm-hmm.
How do you recount with ballot boxes and votes that have gone missing?
So in your understanding, because we didn't see the actual ballots themselves, are these ballots that were not even signed? In other words, they were not spoiled ballots, they were not even signed, there wasn't a ballot, a voter slip. Where were these ballots from? Were they already from the voting station? Are you able to say where these ballots were from?
At this point, I can say that there were legitimate ballots with votes in them.
They had been counted already, no?
They had been counted already.
So if they had been counted, there would be a slip?
With the slip. Hence, we say we've opened up the court case.
Yeah.
And another point to also highlight is that the slips don't tally in terms of numbers.
Yes, we got that complaint from yourselves that you and that wasn't just yourselves. I mean, lots of parties said there was a discrepancy between the slips and what your party agents had captured didn't tally with the IEC's actual count that was presented to everybody. So that definitely is something that we are aware of. So you would like a re-election?
We want a re-election. We want a re-election. And, you know, Pamela, the problem in our country is the following. We are so nonchalant about very serious things. And we just like to let things go. And we get a sense that the rush to declare these results was to an extent because they know that South Africans can be very nonchalant. Oh, well, guys, come on, move on. You're becoming party poopers. 1.3 million votes. No. If this can happen now, it goes to we stand for. It actually infringes on the rights of those who voted and whose votes never reached the political party that they want to see governed.
In your view, realistically, how soon would you like this? How soon would you like to see this happen? And what do we do in the interim?
Sorry, you think how soon would you like to see this happen?
The re-election, yes, because I mean there would have to be a new process that goes underway. We would all have to prepare and all of that, which is fine. So what I'm saying is that what would satisfy the MK party, and in the interim, what would satisfy you?
The IEC needs to engage us across the table. Not only us, by the way, because it's not just the MK party.
Yes.
But I mean, to ask, it's multiple parties, because you don't want to make it seem as if it's just MK. Other parties are just as important, regardless of the number, whether you've got two seats, whether you've got three seats, or one seat. It is equally important, the people that voted you into that one seat. So we're saying that the IEC needs to engage us with transparency, with the fairness that we need and we require and we demand, and sit across the table with us and take us into their confidence. And let us share with them what we've picked up, and let's address it. And off the back of that, and then decide how we move forward. That's what we're asking for. But again, IEC arrogantly goes and declares as to what the rush is, we're still baffled.
And so at the moment, it would be satisfactory to at least get a meeting, sitting around the table where you air out what you are unhappy about, and maybe there may be a resolution there.
We need them to address our issues. We've given them objections. They've given us so-called rejections, no reasons why. We need them to account. The IEC must account. We can't handle this nonchalantly. The times. They must account. So that next time, they must never do this ever again. Because if we allow it now, I'll tell you what, next 5 years from now, it will be a mess. And we'll continue, you know, to allow the perpetuation of individuals who think that they can do as they please and dictate the future of South Africans. No. It needs to stop.
Appreciate your time, Tlamulo Ndlela. Thank you so much for your time, MK spokesperson. You've heard it from him. They would like a re-election, or at the very least to have an engagement with the IEC to take this forward. Otherwise, they're looking at their options, and we will have to wait and see.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.